Yeah, NBA Strayer, how you going? That's right, man, it's NBA Strayer. It's Wednesday, May 30, episode 130. It's a lot of 30s. I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull, The Brooklyn Game, and whoever else wants to pay me money. And I'm here, back in New York City, New York, hanging out in Larry Armour Studios, making sure you know who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA today. Just while repping Strayer a little bit. It's what we do. And today's show, oh man, it's nice to be back from LA and back, you know, in the normal house. And we've got some insane fun shit to talk about. The nuts Brian Colangelo Twitter story, which has inspired me to launch my own burner account and defend NBA Strayer's color sizes. we're going to cover that with the 10 best moments of the Brian Colangelo mess so far ranked. It's going to be awesome. We're also breaking down Ben Simmons' new mystery woman, Kendall Jenner. What? Also, there's a quick whip around of all the other NBA news with a bit of, yeah, nah, the unpopular opinion of the day in Outback Takehouse. And we'll deliver a special edition of the Australian Player Watch as well, because the finals don't start till tomorrow. And with Bangers Baines dipping out with the Celtics, we're wrapping the year that was for all of the Aussies. And because it's Wednesday, we give out a Mark Bradkey Memorial Sweaty White Guy of the Week Award and finish up with a brand new. That's right, we've got a fill-in host this week for Brian Colangelo slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter instead of Andrew Bogut. So that's going to be awesome. All right, it's episode 130. It's NBA Australia. Let's go.
Oi, oi, oi. It's old mate Dally over here. That's right, Matty Dellavedova. And you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Oh, you better. Well, you actually better watch out for the damn Twitter attack, huh? This is the Daily Whip Around. It's what we do. And the Sixers are now investigating the Brian Colangelo tweets, as mentioned at the top of this damn show, because it's bloody hilarious. So, look, this all broke last night. I got back in from LA, as mentioned in last night's quick show. Really late, you know, spent the entire time dicking around at airports or whatever. Finally get back to New York, hanging out. Spent a very nice weekend, Memorial Day weekend in LA with old mate and a couple of friends over there. That was lovely. Got to watch basketball in different LA bars. It's nice, you know. Last year, I think in the NBA Finals, I was in like Vancouver for a couple of games. What can I say, man? Watching NBA games in like different North American cities during the playoffs, it's fun. Anyway, so get back from LA. We record the quick podcast last night, and then about an hour or so later, the news breaks from The Ringer about Brian Colangelo maybe having 5 burner Twitter accounts where he's defending himself or whatever. So we'll talk about that in a second. The other news is the Magic hired former Hornets coach Steve Clifford to a 4-year deal. Sure. We'll talk about that in Yeah, Nah. And Andre Iguodala, Iggy, has been announced as out already for game 1 of the NBA Finals with his left leg contusion. Brutal. So we'll talk about that tomorrow in the big NBA Finals preview.
Preview.
That's what we're going to do. But today, let's do it, shall we? Because this is legitimately one of the most fun stories of the year already. I mean, what do you reckon, Mr. G?
I had an excitement quiver. I get very excited about things. I do that.
I do get very excited about things, especially when Brian Colangelo apparently is out there. That's right. Philly GM Brian Colangelo, maybe, perhaps, allegedly, had at least 5 Twitter burner accounts that were used to divulge info about injuries and slam players like Joel Embiid, Markelle Fultz, Jahlil Okafor, Nerlens Noel, even our own Ben Simmons. But the best part is, he also used it to defend Brian Colangelo and the moves made by him and the collars that he wears. It's legitimately just amazing. So if you haven't already, go read Ben Dietrich's piece on The Ringer. It's terrific. And it's really good journalism to the point where they get an unsolicited tip from a Twitter egg. They follow it up, clearly doing an absolute butt ton of due diligence, including basically calling up the Sixers and going, after they've looked at these and run a whole bunch of data analysis on the tweets, finding out that the 5 accounts have a very stunningly large amount of correlation between who they follow, what they tweet out, and the phrases and everything they use, the info they divulge. It's amazing. And look, the thing is, The Ringer is an amazing, amazing, amazing piece to the point where it's just, all it is though is incredibly damning circumstantial evidence that's so perfectly damning but they still can't quite legally say it's him, but they can ask the question. And it's pretty clearly someone that's either him or very fucking close. And it's amazing. And the best bit was, as soon as the ringer asked the Sixers about the accounts and the PR dude went, hey, Brian, is this for real? All of the accounts went private simultaneously. So there's definitely something going on. To the point where like Twitter and Reddit were finding out that three of the accounts used the same email and phone number as their sort of backups and everything. And basically, look, there's a lot of other stuff going on in there. So let's rank the 10 best moments of the Brian Colangelo mess so far. I mean, what do you think, Spock? It is fascinating, I'll tell you that much. So, number 10. Joel Embiid coming in off the top rope at the very start of all this with the jokes when the story broke. It was legitimately amazing. He's like basically out there tweeting out. He eventually, you know, rolled it back, but it was very, very good that Joel's like, hey, man, tweeting at Hinky, doing all this other great stuff. And Joel Embiid, in the classic fashions, just like bringing the lols. And that's like the 10th best part about this, right? Like, holy crap, it's unreal. So the best part was he tweeted out, bruh, and like the old photo of him. And then tweeted out, Joel told me that Sam Hinkie is better and smarter than you at one of the Eric Jr. Brian Colangelo account. And then hashtagged Burner account. It was amazing. But then later rolled it back with a fun night on Twitter, LMAO. All jokes aside, I don't believe the story. That would be insane. Yeah, that's for right. It's fucking insane. Number 9, the 77 years old tweet and the daughter too old to marry a Sixers blogger tweets. That's the 9th best one because this goes into number 8. The fact that he keeps bringing up the phrases that get a ladder and kick their butt. I'm going to get a small ladder, climb it and kick him in the butt. A medium ladder and like, kick him in the butt. This dude has got a thing about climbing ladders to kick someone's butt. And also, they censored the word butt. That's incredible. That leads me to basically sort of think that it's either someone who's like crazy old that leads to that 77 years old tweet where it's like, hey man, if I wasn't in my 77 years, I've seen a lot and basketball is not black or white. Come on, man, by number 8 now, we're sitting here going, this is fucking Jerry Colangelo, isn't it? Brian's dad. Oh shit. Is it? Oh my God. It fucking could be. What do you reckon, Spock? Exactly. Fascinating.
Interesting stuff.
So far it is. It is very interesting stuff. So we're at this point now where you're like, okay, so Jerry Colangelo might be behind this. That's pretty weird. Then number 7, one of the accounts tweeting out shoot a 3, you coward, about Ben Simmons. I think they liked that tweet, which is pretty funny and pretty brutal. But the thing is, number 6, the most weird, fun, awesome, best moment of this was when everyone realized that they all follow basically the same people who super specific to Brian Colangelo to the point where it's like his son's like university team, an ex-business partner of his like that no one else would have any dealings with and is only followed by like 24 people and like 3 of these accounts do. To the point where it's like Toronto socialites that they're like hobnobbing with back when Colangelo was in charge of the Raptors. This is amazing. So the fact that they follow like basically the same people who are super specific to Colangelo, dude, come on. Number 5, there was the weird shit about Fultz's slam, like about Fultz's father figure and this person going in after them and then going after Fultz during a game as well and telling him to stop whining and strap on a pair. That was pretty incredible. Holy shit. Number 4, my favorite one of the number 4 of the best moments, the fact that they went after the Gabriel Union D-Wade pairing about not basically taking a photo in Beijing with a fan and saying, I was sat right next to you. Everyone's like, whoa, this could be Jerry again though, couldn't it? This is amazing. So the dragging Gabriel Union and D-Wade. Pretty handy, not pretty bad. Number 3, the I've worked with him and he's a class act tweet. That is KD the coward level bullshit. And again, this leads into number 2. Of the best moments of the Brian Colangelo mess so far, number 2 is the fact that it probably is his dad behind 3 of these, right? I sat next to you in Beijing while you were eating in a restaurant and he's dropping all this, I've worked with him, he's a class act. Unbelievable. This is like one of the only other explanations that I've heard that the Eric Jr. and the Honest Abe and the other one, the Unknown Sources, No Unknown Sources one, might be just Jerry Colangelo, the 78-year-old current still Sixers advisor who was brought in by the NBA to basically oust Sam Hinkie and hire his fucking son for a Colangelo party. And Jerry's still sitting there, just maybe 78-year-olds, a couple of scotches in him, out there talking shit, following people through his son, defending him on the odd occasion and tweeting after, tweeting about his grandson or his son's problems and like what's going on. It's legitimately incredible that this might be Jerry Colangelo behind three of these, because Brian copped to one of them, which was the one that hadn't tweeted and hadn't done anything. He's like, he came out and admitted, yeah, I've got that one because I like to monitor social media or whatever. And then everyone's like, yo, what about the other ones? And he's like, yeah, not me, brah, not me. Might be his dad. But anyway, the best one, the best moment of the Brian Colangelo mess so far, number one, is the defending the Colas. This is legitimately amazing. I'm just like, the Colas could not be funnier, because it's clearly just someone going, hey, man, those are normal Colas. What do you, fuck, I wear normal collars, right? Getting all up in their shit. And like, all I want. And then going, so the repeated phrase of, get a new slant. Pretty weird. It's like, those are normal size collars. Get a new slant. The fact that like he swings so far back into it is just funny as hell, right? Like, Get a new slant. It's like, what? Dude, this is unreal. But, oh, so good. So bloody good. So, look. I don't know, man. It's just the entire Brian Colangelo mess so far. The collars, the climbing the ladders, the normal size collars, get a new slant. Dude, who do you reckon is old mate No Mates today?
Old mate, no mates.
Who's got no mates today? Gee, do you reckon it's Brian Colangelo? Like, just holy shit, mate. Like, this is just an amazing story that keeps on giving to the point where you do have stuff like, this dude just loves collars. That is a normal collar. Move on. Find a new slant. We're actually going to find a new slant in just a second. Well, we're back with some yeah nahs to keep talking about this because it's so bloody good. All right, we'll be back in a second.
Oh, kia ora, brews. This is Stephen Adams, eh, brew? And you're listening to NBA Stray, eh? Cheer, brew.
All right, we're back. It's time for yeah nah, where we take NBA storylines and decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. And before we even get into that, man, do you reckon like the NBA straight approved performance of the night, that's not a knife, that's a knife, should that go to Joel Embiid for that joke last night, or just Twitter and Reddit for finding out all the rest of it, or Ben Dietrich for this amazing story? Good on you. Anyway, so yeah, nah. Number one, did Brian Colangelo do it? Yeah, maybe. And if he didn't, right, it's got to be his dad or like his assistant. Like, or someone like super duper close, where when the ringer tell the Sixers, hey man, we know about these very sneakily and very smartly. We know about these accounts, not naming all of them. And then as soon as they go, hey man, yeah, no, I'll ask him, they all go private. I mean, there's just too many threads that are similar for it to be coincidence, right? Like, especially that three emails / numbers for the three other accounts he didn't acknowledge. Like, those all going dark at the moment he was told of it. Come on, mate. That's the most damning shit ever. Woo! I love it. Number two, if it's not Brian, is it Jerry? Yeah, nah. Maybe, probably, yeah. I mean, dude is 78. Like, who the fuck is 78 apart from, like, the fucking president and fucking around on Twitter getting into it with random Philly beat writers and fans and shit? Like, that's amazing. If it is, I love it. Can you imagine, like, Bob Kraft or Jerry Jones doing that? Like, I mean, actually, now I think about it, I can. It'd all be for like dick pics and shit, though. But like, that'd be, great. Now I've grossed myself out for thinking about Bob Kraft and Jerry Jones sending dick pics. Oh, yeah, no, I'm good. Anyway, but there was that tweet from Still Balling the account that is literally said he was 77, and another one from the Eric Jr. account talking about having a daughter too old for one of the writers they were talking about. I mean, come on, that's got to be Jerry. Holy shit. It's just too much of a confluence of events. Not to me. It's so weird. Number three. So does Colangelo get fired for this? Yeah, nah, I don't think he does. I think it'll get very close. I feel like they're going to be, the Colangelos will find themselves a scapegoat. It'll be like some shitty poor little assistant who'll be sitting there going, oh, man. And the Colangelos will, hey, man, we're going to hook you up with like a kajillion dollars on the sly. You take the beating for this. Say it was your tweets. And look, we'll hire you if like some other thing off in a couple of years and we'll pay you off right now. Just so Jerry and Brian can get through this scot clean. That's how it's going to go, man. It's going to be tough. Like, that's the thing. I don't know if the Sixers can prove that it's him or not, right? Like, that's the best part. And so you have someone to take the blame. You move on. Boom. Away you go. Amazing, though. But if they do fire Jerry Colangelo, and this is the question coming from our man, Carson Maddox. Hey, Mad Dogs. Is that Sam Hinkie's music? Should the Sixers bring back Hinkie to finish the process if they fire Brian Colangelo? Yeah, nah. Yes, of fucking course they have. That's amazing. I think history has proven out that he was on the right track. And if he did come back, you know, he'd be much more willing to face the media and agents and be much more open with his communication and everything that he got criticized for unfairly the first time around. But that would be amazing. And if not Sam Hinkie, then should they take a look at David Griffin? Yeah, nah. Yes. Right, man. Got a bit of time for LeBron's old mucker, I do. He's pretty damn good on NBA TV. And I think that's like Dan Gilbert's giant fuck up this year. And the reason LeBron probably leaves this offseason or next is firing Griff before Griff could placate Kyrie or trade him or Kevin Love for Paul George, and firing him before he needed a new goddamn contract. Dan Gilbert, yeah. In breaking news, he sucks. Anyway, Griff in Philly would be really good, I think, right? What do you reckon? What do you reckon? Look, let's bash on for this one more time. Who do you reckon? Are there other owners? There's got to be other GMs and owners out there who definitely have burner accounts they use to like trash everybody else, right? So who do you reckon is the top five of that one? I've got Mark Cuban, Michael Jordan, Stan Van Gundy before he got fired, Daryl Morey, and Danny Ainge. I'm pretty sure they've all other got burners. Maybe Cuban might not even have a burner because he spends so much time actually tweeting shit at people, which is pretty great. But everybody else, I reckon they've probably got one or two just in the back pocket, just out there talking shit. Taking shots at Woj like Colangelo did, which was amazing. And you know that Woj is going to come in after him hard now. So that's pretty great. So what do you reckon? That's an amazing story, isn't it? Let us know what you think. I'm happily going to cover this again tomorrow on tomorrow's show, but it's pretty great anyway. So look, we've got a couple of extra bonus yeah nas as well. Let's talk about the Steve Clifford one. Is Steve Clifford a good hire for the Magic? Yeah, nah. Nah, I mean, like, what the fuck does hiring another old, bald, white guy retread Eastern coach do for the Magic? I mean, seriously, man, we've gone through Scott Scars, Frank Vogel, now Cliff. I mean, he's fine, but fuck fine, right? Like, why not roll the dice with, like, a young or college coach or someone who moves the needle a little bit, can grow with these players and teach them and just be, like, a bad MF-er as they get better and better and better. Steve Clifford isn't even, like, vanilla ice cream. He's, like, the normal cone. He's not even a waffle cone. It's like, oh, it's really good how he does stuff. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? That makes no bloody sense. Like, what point do you go, oh, what he did in Charlotte was really imprep? No! They sucked. They underperformed time and again. So why would you go, oh, this is our guy? Love it. Love it. Doesn't make anybody sense, mate. And then finally, yeah, nah, should we be concerned that Big Dick Benny, Ben Simmons, is apparently dating Kendall Jenner? Yeah, nah. Nah, come on. Benny's got a good head on him, I reckon. And look, there's always time for a nice summer fling, and especially Kendall Jenner. She seems like the less shit of all the Kardashian Jenners. But still, it's a little bit concerning because anytime any NBA player gets in that Kardashian web, their shit just gets a little bit fucked up, doesn't it? Chris Humphries, Lamar, Jordan Clarkson, James Harden, Tristan Thompson, Blake Griffin, they've all suffered a little bit in some way. I mean, Harden bounced back and ended up winning a MVP this year, which is what's going to happen, but you got to keep it short like he did. And even then, it sort of threw him for a loop for 12 months. I don't know. It's pretty tough to risk, you know, basically throwing yourself for a bit of a loop for a smoking hottie when there's a lot of smoking hotties out there throwing themselves at you. I can't really blame him. He'll be fine. He's got a good God noggin on him. He's got a good support crew. On you, Big Simo. On ya. All right, how about the unpopular opinion of today then?
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
To go back on the Steve Clifford thing, I mean, I just hate shit teams hiring retread coaches who never really stood out in the first place. Like, what's the difference between hiring Steve Clifford or taking a shot on like Jerry Stackhouse or Becky Hammon or someone? Like, people were like, oh man, Frank Vogel, he's a really good coach for this young Orlando team. He'll do the same thing he did in Indy. Like, they'll get better defensively and they'll be able to build an identity. Nope. The Magic just sucked. They just had like a really, really bad run of draft picks that just didn't seem to fit or make sense. A couple of horrible trades fucked them over. Just imagine if they just kept Victor Oladipo. Victor Oladipo! Just imagine. But the Magic now just sucks. So you need a complete do-over. And as mentioned, like, what about Charlotte's last 4 years made you go, oh shit, Steve Clifford is the coach of our future? It's just dumbass thinking, mate. And that's the sort of thing that you go, oh, where are the Magic in 3 years' time? Is it the exact same place as they are now? Probably. So I don't know if that's an unpopular opinion of the day, but it's definitely an opinion. Sure. All right, it's time for Outback Takehouse. Step in to Outback. It's Wednesday. Here at Outback, that means double shrimp, double bloomin' onions, and a thing we like to call Alice Springs chicken. It's basically emu. All right, now some time for a flame-grilled take here at Outback Takehouse with extra emu. The Philadelphia 76ers should fire both the Colangelos and hire Sam Hinkie to complete his process because that's the only way to appease the basketball gods. Only at Outback. Shit, I don't even know if that's a big Outback Takehouse. I think they should just fucking do that, right? Holy shit, that's awesome. All right, we'll be back in a second with our big stream player, which we're going to wrap up what everybody got up to this year and a whole bunch of other fun stuff right after these words.
G'day, this is PDX Pete. When I'm not sipping on IPAs or throwing down voodoo donuts, I'm tuning in to NBA Straya. Fuck yeah.
This is Andrew Bogut, and you are listening to NBA Straya. All right, we're back. It's time for NBA Straya, the Australian Player Watch. And we're just going to quickly whip around all the Australian players and what they got up to this year. As now they're all done, and we've got no games to preview until tomorrow. So, look, as mentioned, Ben Simmons ended up the year. He's going to win Rookie of the Year, 15.8 points. 8.1 rebounds, 8.2 assists for the year, shooting 56% from the free throw line, but 54.5% from the field. So it's a lot of stuff in the paint, a lot of driving. It's all good. And then in the playoffs, Big Benny, 16.3 points, 9.4 rebounds, 7.7 assists, 1.7 steals. Man, nearly averaging a triple-double throughout that entire playoff run. Was very, very, very good in the Miami series, as mentioned. And was pretty bloody good in the Celtics series as well. But, you know, a couple of playoff triple-doubles and here and there. Yeah, 12 triple-doubles for the year was amazing. And now he's dating a Jenner. It's a tough one. But, look, it's pretty bloody good. And, look, we're going to go through each person's season for one episode, basically, during some of the times in the finals and into the off-season. But Ben Simmons, I mean, come on. That's a roaring success of a rookie season. He made the all-rookie team. You basically couldn't buy his jersey anywhere in New York. He was that popular. So Ben Simmons crushed it. Absolutely crushed it. Now he's dating a Kardashian. it's tough, right? It's tough. How about, though, Jingling Joe Ingles and his year with the Utah Jazz? He averages 11.5 points a game, 4.2 rebounds, 4.8 assists, shooting 46.7% from the field and 44% from three. Out there, jingling everybody, you freaking morons. Y'all got jingled. He set a couple of career highs throughout the season. Even in the playoffs, he scored a career high 27 points. During the playoffs in the two rounds that they had, he averaged 14.5 points, 4.4 rebounds, and 3.4 assists while shooting 45.5% from three. On your jingler. Not bloody bad. Dante Exum as well came back. He played 14 games. Finally got back to the Jazz on the 15th of March. And for that run, for the rest of the regular season, wasn't bad. Like, he came off the bench, ran the second unit for Jazz pretty well. 8 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists, shooting 48% from the field, only 27% from three, but, you know, it's okay. And then popped off a little bit in the playoffs here and there, but as they cut their rotation, kind of slipped out a little bit. But so only averaged 5 points in the playoffs, 1 assist and 1 rebound. So a bit tough, but, you know, that's only 11 minutes. And look, Dante's going to be back in a big way next bloody year, I'll tell you that much. How about Bangers Baines? Woo! Bangers! What a season it was for Bangers out there in Boston, laying cement truck picks for everybody to curl off and opening up their offense. He ended up tops in ESPN's plus minus defensive metric, which is amazing. Averaged 6 points, 5.4 rebounds, 1 assist, 47% from the field. And for the season, only shot 14% on his threes because he only went 3 of 21 during the regular season. But then in the playoffs, 50% in that last round, he shot from three. And for the entire playoffs, he shot 47.8% while averaging 6 points a game, 6.2 rebounds, and 1 assist and almost a block a game in only 20 minutes. Bangers. Unbelievable, mate. What a turnaround that was in the playoffs. Hey, mate, Bangers. He's turning into a unicorn. Pretty quick, smart, I'll tell you that much. And how about Dele? Dele, get him, Dele. Look, tough one for Dele this year. Coming off the bench in Milwaukee behind Malcolm Brogdon and then also Brogdon and Eric Bledsoe. And then got hurt in February. Was hurt sort of through November as a little bit as well. So only played 38 games, only averaged 4.3 points, 3.8 assists, and still shot 37% from three, which is pretty bloody good. And then in the playoffs, look, he was probably the steadiest point guard that they had in that Boston series, and that spud Joe Prunty didn't quite realize it. So, I don't know, it was a tough one for Dele this year. And here's hoping that LeBron looks around wherever he goes next year and goes, you know what, you need to trade for Dele ASAP. He's the only guy I can win a goddamn title with, so do it, do it. Bloody Dele, it's a tough one. But how about Thon McCur. And it was a bit of a tough second year for Thon. And then in the playoffs, showed us what he's made of. But for the regular season, 74 games, 4.8 points, 3 assists, 29% from the three, 41% from the field. But then in the playoffs, came alive. Came alive, mate. It was pretty impressive. He popped off for a massive 14 points in one game. 14 points, 5 blocks and 5 rebounds in that game three against Boston. That was unreal. And for the series, averaged 5.6 points, 3.4 rebounds, and looked pretty bloody good. So he is hoping that Mike Budenholzer will unlock the Thon. How about Bogut? Look, he only played in 23 games this year for the Lakers before heading back to the to Oz and ended up signing with the Kings. Could have come back and played in the playoffs, but decided not to. And look, more power to him. If he's happy in Australia, he's happy. So 1.6 points a game, 3.4 rebounds. Shot 68% from the field. And yeah, on your Bogut. It's a tough one. You know, it was just a weird year for Bogut, wasn't it? Where he's like, hey guys, so this is going to be fun if I hang out here, right? And that'll be good. And then, yeah, nah, not that much fun. So, brutal one, but he's in the NBL now. And how about Patty Baller Mills? He was pretty bloody good all year. As mentioned, though, a couple of times he wasn't able to really settle into his role. And then finally, towards the end of the year, when he was basically playing as he was starting for basically the last third of the season from about February onwards and really settled into his role by the sort of towards the, you know, last month of the season. For the year, only averaged 10 points, 2.3 assists, 37% from three, 41% from the field. Played all 82 games, though, did Patty Mills, while Kawhi didn't play many at all. And then in the playoffs, Patty came out and was like, all right, what's going on, baller? It's averaged 13.4 points, 2.6 rebounds, 2 rebounds, 2.6 assists, and was pretty bloody good. Probably their only source of like any offense, basically game two and game six against the game two and game five against the Warriors. So tough one, Patty, tough one. And then finally, Mango Matthew Yang played his 4 games this year for the Charlotte Hornets. There's a great story on him in The Age this week as well. Go check that out. Anya Mango averaged 2 points and 2.5 rebounds. It's pretty good, actually. Like, wasn't too bad in the old, in his little stints there for the actual Hornets. But then down there in Greensboro, I'll tell you, Mango was out there kind of crushing it just on the DL. While Greensboro was sort of traveling around, he was starting, averaged 10 and 10, and was pretty bloody good as their sort of starting power forward, starting center. So look, not bloody bad, mate. Like 10.8 points, 9.2 rebounds, 1.4 blocks. Just happy that he got some run and that hopefully the Hornets will go, yeah, he's got a little bit of in him. So that's all pretty good. And look, what do you reckon? Do you want to do Kyrie as well? How did Kyrie go this year? Let's find out. Kyrie, bloody Irving. Look, it was a tough one for his first year in Boston. Kind of got off to a bit of a slow start and then obviously got himself under the knife, and turns out that the screws in his knee from when it was all repaired last time were a bit infected. So it was a bit shit. So anyway, for Kyrie, he averaged 24 points for the season for Boston. Aussie Kyrie, that's how he does it. 5.1 assists and 3.78 rebounds. Shot 49% from the field. That's pretty bloody good. 40% from three, and proved to be an absolute bloody star. So there you go. Look, we're going to break down each of their years a little bit at length in an episode each, and just sort of take a little bit slower. But that's a quick overview of everybody's year, and it was a pretty damn successful one, wasn't it? So before we get into the NBA Finals, just thought we'd sort of appreciate how good this year has been for Australian basketball and how everyone has been out there performing and just kicking some ass. So how about we also add, though, to the end of that, the Mark Bradkey Memorial Sweaty White Guy of the Week. Yes, it's Wednesday. It's what we do. Jim McIlvain, the dude the Sonics gave up a terrifying 7-year, $35 million contract for while stiffing Sean Kemp. Yeah, that seemed like a great fucking decision at the end. 2 years in Washington, Jim. And fucking those mouth breathers were like, oh, yeah, we're not going to pay Sean Kemp. We'll pay Jim McIlvain. $35 million. You idiots. They reckon he was a Shaq stopper. No, he just stopped playing good basketball. Averaged 3.5 points, 3.7 rebounds, 1.9 blocks in 17 minutes a game in his 2 years in Seattle while starting. That is unbelievably shit. And it's not so much that he was super sweaty, because the dude barely played enough to get a sweat up. But when he did, he was a big old goatee lumberjack looking mofo who sweated everywhere. And look, Jim McIlvain, got a lot of complex feelings. I'm literally wearing a Sean Kemp jersey right now sitting here, and I've got a signed Sean Kemp poster up on the wall here in Larry Armour Studios behind me. So fuck Jim McIlvain. And fuck the goddamn Seattle front office at the time. There was just Wally Walker, mate. What are you doing? Killed me. Anyway, all right, so there you go. Look, I reckon, should we do a Joe Ingles inspiration board today as well? Yeah, we should. May as well. Like, I mean, what else are we going to do? we've got the NBA Finals. So Joe Ingles has literally just tweeted out, flat white, extra shot. That's inspiring. It's the Joe Ingles inspiration board. And you know what? That's it for today. What an unbelievable NBA day this has been. The Brian Colangelo story just remains absolutely fascinating. I love every second of it. And we'll be back tomorrow with our big NBA Finals preview. We're going to break down a bunch of the matchups, give you a quick check-in with how the Colangelo story is going, all the other stuff that's fit to talk about. It's just what we do at NBA Australia every day, bloody hell. It's what we do. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter at NBA Australia, like us on Facebook, all that good stuff, Instagram as well. Don't forget to subscribe to NBA Australia on iTunes and Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Chuck us a nice 5-star rating review while you're at it, would ya? Thanks to Fon Moslow for the intro and outro song, though. Go check out House Hats, their new band. They are the best band in Australia, I'll tell you that much. Their single Stop is a pearler. Go check it out. Extra special thanks to legends at Green Green Green, Iowa, Fascinator, Dozers, Sex Jedi, and the Ramshackle Army for the tunes you heard throughout the episode. As usual, man, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. Check them all out on Bandcamp and Facey, would ya? And that's it, man. Stick around for a guest host of Andrew Bogut Slams, a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter. Instead, today we have Brian Colangelo slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter. It's amazing. Trust me, it's legitimately incredible. And we will catch us tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, can't wait for the finals. And later, Hosan.
Hi,
Hi there, my name's Brian, and I'm filling in for Andrew Bogut this week. Here, I'm Brian Colangelo slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter. So this is Brian Colangelo slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter. And just so you know, I have really normal collars, and if you think otherwise, I'll find a medium-sized ladder and kick your butt. Okay, let's get to the tweet machine. Let me just log into a couple of my accounts here. And okay, let's go. Okay, so today I'm going to be Eric Jr. for this one. Oh man, there's this great thing about like Joel Embiid getting up there and singing with Meek Mill. I can't deal with that shit. So here we go. I'm going to reply to Hinky Duck God. Zero issues with this? You must be joking. If I were management, I would step on a ladder and kick his butt. To make sure I don't swear. Say butt. All right, this guy, Brian Mike Jacobs. He's talking to me about Nerlens Noel. Yes, I want Noel gone over Ja. Ja has been a bad knee, but a class act. Noel is a selfish punk. Yeah, Noel, I hate that guy. So Super Bowl champion Hive says, I think a move happens soon. BC hates bad press. He pulled the trigger too early on Noel for the same reason. We need to focus on Rocco. I'm going to log in as enough unknown sources. Brett Brown wanted Nerlens Noel gone. He was bad for the locker room. Once again, Colangelo protected coach and got shat on for it. BC is a class act and not a bad guy. Oh, no. This guy thinks he might know that it's me. Super Bowl champion Hive. He responds, this is you, Brian? No, but thanks for the compliment. He is too classy to even engage. Worked with him. He is a class act. That Brian Colangelo definitely is. Thank you. Oh no, how's Gabrielle Union tweeting out? She says, you do know Tom Brady skipped it when President Obama was in the White House, right? Or is it only a problem with Martellus? She was responding to her tweet about Martellus Bennett not going to the Super Bowl celebration in the White House because he doesn't like Trump. I'm going to respond to Gabrielle. I sat next to you and DW at Beijing Olympics and saw you both being rude nasty to a little kid fan. Had to eat your pizza. Too busy eating pizzas to hang up the fans. And you got the gall to say that? Unbelievable. And then there's all these people talking about, oh, Sam Hinkie, so good. I hate that guy. I'm going to log back in as Eric Jr. BC has done nothing but clean up Hinkie's mess. Hinkie got great pieces, but couldn't make the puzzle work. Oh my God. And these people keep harping on. I'm going to log back in as enough unknown sources. I have no respect for Hinkie's martyrdom because it is orchestrated by him. Behind curtains via all the bloggers he cultivated with leaks. That's classic Hinkie. And then this jerk Rorschach's journal says, Colangelo just wanted to make the playoffs before Markel Fultz could play again. Pompey reported that months ago. BC had zero faith that the kid could develop and help the team to make the playoffs at the same time. I'm ready to get rid of BC. That's disrespectful. All right, I'll make sure I'm logged in. Okay, this time it's enough unknown sources. Why are you making shit up? This is a blatant lie and you should be ashamed to be spreading it and putting more hate in the world instead of being happy the kid is back. And BC and BB nursed him back with patience and support. Shame on you, you big fat liar. I hope your TV breaks tonight. Unbelievable. Oh my God, Liberty Ballers, they keep writing about me. Brian Colangelo has been misleading, untrustworthy on injuries as Sixers GM. And then Ray Vega says, this clown going to ruin everything Hinkie built. Clown? Why? What did Hinkie build? My gosh, the biased insanity. It's incredible. Ugh. And then even Sean McGrady, he says, Joel Embiid is the player we need and deserve. I don't think so. I'm going to log in as a different one. Honest Abe. This time. Sorry, I am a Philly fan, but I'll trade the process for the unicorn in a heartbeat. Such a smarter player. And look, Sixers Nation are just tweeting out as well. Joel with a frustration foul. I am sure it is hard for him to process the fact that it is now Ben's team. So he's acting up. The ego foul is costing us big. Unbelievable. On Keith Pompey, he keeps tweeting out as well. So he tweets out about Joel Embiid at that Meek Mill concert. Unbelievable. And then Finnegan Playground replies, 3 weeks for a couple of days injury. If Jobo was on one of the 20 teams vying for playoffs, he'd play. Make sure I'm logged in as Eric Jr. this time. He is the one who tells the docs he still feels pain in the knee. And then this? No respect. God, Joel Embiid, I don't like this guy. I'll tell you what. Unbelievable. But Markel Fultz, holy crap. This is still funny. So drunk Sixers fan tweets out, early season take, I'm warming on TLC and cooling on Dario. I love Roko, I'm going to tweet out. Oh, they replied. That one's obvious. Oh, here we go. If I had a medium-sized ladder, I would love to knock some sense into Joel's head right now. He's playing like a toddler having tantrums. Unbelievable. Brian Seltzer tweeted out a picture of me in a college shirt. And Dartmouth Matt says, this dude just loves collars. Fuck you, Dartmouth Matt. I'll log back in as enough unknown sources. That is a normal collar. Move on. Find a new slant. All right, there we go. Okay, I think that took care of everything there. Good job, Brian. That sorted that all out. Okay, this was fun. Thank you for letting me fill in for Andrew Bogut. And this has been Brian Colangelo slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter. Hopefully, I'll join you again here soon on NBA Straya. Thanks.